If you have your Bible, turn with me to Nahum, chapter 1, verse 6. And in my Bible, it's page 986. It says, "Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him." A most unpopular subject is alluded to here in Nahum chapter 1. In a day when there's a lot of widespread skepticism and even outright denial of the God of the Bible, it's important that we Christians revisit and reaffirm our beliefs and our commitment to him. It is amazing in this day in which we live that folks don't have a great commitment level. Knowing that the Lord is coming back soon, and I think we'd all agree to that, it ought to behoove us to draw closer to God and stay close. But today, I want to talk to you about the wrath of God. You know, we talk about the love of God, and we wish that we could just put a period there and that everything from that point on would just be love. But there is a other side to God. There is the fact of the wrath of God. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The issue is not whether we like it or not, or we want it or not, or we agree with it or not. God's wrath is a vital part of who he is, and the Bible has more to say about the wrath of God than it does about the love of God. We know that God is good, he is kind, he's loving and forgiving. But if you put that period there and go no farther, you don't have the complete story about who God really is. So let me ask you this morning, what would you say about a father who failed to warn his children of an impending danger? Or what would you say about a friend who saw you going down a dangerous road and knew disaster awaited you but made no attempt to stop you? How about a doctor who knew you had a life-threatening disease? And he told you to go home and take 2 aspirins. Your response would be, what kind of a father, what kind of a friend, or what kind of a doctor would do such a thing? And so it is with your pastor. If your pastor skipped this message because it is not one that makes you feel good, if he told you about God's love but never warned you about God's wrath, he would be doing you a great disservice. What kind of a pastor would do such a thing? Well, what is the wrath of God? The wrath of God is his necessary, just, and righteous retribution against sin. Now, the Greek words for wrath indicate God's intense displeasure of sin and his judgment against it. God's wrath against sin arises by necessity out of his nature. With God, there is no such thing as a big sin or a little sin or a medium-sized sin. He does not make distinction between the white lies and the black lies, between felonies and misdemeanors. Because he is a holy God, all sin is repulsive to him. Ezekiel the prophet said that he takes no pleasure in punishing the unrighteous, but he will because he is a God of wrath. Psalms 18, verse 8 says this, "Smoke went out from God's nostrils as he huffed with anger at the very presence of sin." And Moses said in Exodus 34 and 7 that God will not let the guilty go unpunished. You reap what you sow. The wages of sin is death. Let me say again, the wrath of God is his necessary, just, and righteous retribution against sin. Well, I want to share several things with you this morning about the wrath of God. God's wrath is one of his perfections. In Romans chapter 11, verse 22, it said, Behold the kindness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but unto thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Now this word severity comes from a Greek word meaning to be cut off. And I think that we'll stop and pause just a moment and try to identify what he's trying to tell us here about being cut off. Can you imagine the fact that there would never be another church service for you to go to? The Holy Spirit of God would never convict you again. You'd never hear the Word of God preached anymore. You're cut off. And God's favor would not reach down to draw you to repentance when you're cut off. Paul points us to God's goodness, but also to his severity, which is a description of his wrath. I want you to understand about God's goodness that it's perfectly balanced with his severity. Both are a part of who he is. God's goodness contains not only the positive things which he does, but also his negative reaction to evil. And when you stop and think about it, it makes good sense. What kind of God would he be if he didn't care about our well-being? I know that God loves me. I know he loves you. And I know more than anything else, God wants you and me to be saved and make heaven a home. I know that because he is a God of love. But in his love, he predetermined when he saw that we would be a sinful people in need of redemption, he sent his son even before the foundations of the world was laid. It was predetermined that he would come and die for the sins of all the world. Now that's love. And the Lord loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die upon the cross of Calvary just for your sins. If you had been the only person on the earth, Jesus would have come to die just for you. That's how much he loved you. That's how much he loved you. Well, in our text today, the prophet Nahum paints a vivid picture of the wrath of God. But then in verse 7, he says the Lord is good. In other words, Nahum is saying God is so good that he cannot let evil go unpunished. And so God's wrath is one of his perfections. His wrath is a part of his righteousness this morning. It is not a cruel, humanistic wrath coming from a God that's mad at us and wants to punish us. You know, when your children disobey, and we had to punish them, it hurt us. You know, I know sometimes the kids think, well, Dad, he really enjoyed that. No, Dad didn't enjoy it. It always broke my heart and grieved my heart when I had to punish the children. But that's because I loved them. And when I did punish them, it's out of a heart of love. And that's what the Lord does. He loves us and wants the best for us. But God's wrath has displayed his justice throughout history. In Romans 1:18, it says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Notice God does not try to hide his wrath. His wrath is revealed. And the Bible tells us that it is a part of his nature, And the verb in Romans 1:18 is in the present tense. It's simply saying God's wrath is revealed today and revealed tomorrow and will be revealed as long as there's sin in this world. We can trace God's wrath down through the pages of Scripture. And as long as there is sin, you will find that God will demonstrate in wrath against that sin. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they were booted out of the Garden of Eden. You see, they sinned against God. They were in the perfect place. Sin had not corrupted. But the devil tempted them. And they succumbed to the temptation of the devil, and they did his bidding instead of the Lord, and they sinned, and they were booted out because of that sin. In Noah's day, the Bible said, when the imaginations of the heart were evil continually in the sight of God, it repented God that he made man. And he set out to destroy it, this whole world. But he found a man righteous in his sight by the name of Noah and his family and told him to build an ark for the saving of his household. God revealed his wrath when everything was done. And the rain started to fall, and God inundated this old world with water. And all were destroyed save those on the ark. In Genesis chapter 11, God's wrath was kindled when men got together to erect a tower to heaven. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to be in authority and call their own shots. He displayed his wrath by coming down, confounding their language, scattering them abroad. God demonstrated his wrath again against the Egyptians when Pharaoh refused to let the children of Israel go. God had to send 10 plagues, awful plagues, down upon the Egyptians. And when they left out of the land, they crossed that Red Sea that God had parted. When Pharaoh's army came after them to bring them back, God allowed the waters to come in on them and take their lives. In Numbers chapter 16, the Bible tells us about Korah. He led a rebellion against God's man, Moses. The scripture says that God in his wrath commanded that the earth just open up and swallow them and then close back up. And then the scripture tells us in Acts chapter 5, a man and his wife, Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a possession and pretended that they gave all the proceeds to the church. God knew otherwise. They lied to the Holy Spirit of God. And they fell dead at the feet of Peter. I'm reminded of an event in my own ministry when I was pastoring another church a number of years ago that I had just taken this particular church, hadn't been there but 2 or 3 months, and didn't know when I went that they were divided, split. They were kind of at one another. And so I went there not knowing that, and some of the folks wanted the old pastors to come back and pastor, and so they withheld their tithes, thinking they would run me off. And time rocked on by, and we had revival, and to make a long story short, there was repentance. And God blessed that church, turned it around. But I'm going to tell you that out of those leading families, one of them had a heart attack within 6 months. All of this happened within 6 months. A son had his house, the back end of it, burned down. One had to declare bankruptcy. Another had a nervous breakdown, had to go to the hospital. All within 6 months' time. I'm here to tell you, God knows and he sees and he understands what we do and don't do. And one of these days, we're going to stand before him to account for the life that we've lived. And he has a perfect record of everything that we've done and not done. Well, here's the bottom line. The wrath of God is revealed. It will keep on being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness whenever, wherever it is found, regardless of who it is that does it. God doesn't have any big eyes or little ears. None of us are any bigger, any better than anybody else. We're all just part of the family of God, and we're trying to get to heaven together. God help us that we'll love one another and that we'll serve God with all of our heart. You know, it breaks my heart when folks don't show up. I don't understand it. I don't understand knowing that the Lord is going to come back soon, and I think we'd all agree that it's going to be soon and very soon. And I want to be faithful to the Lord. I want to stand before him and have him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You do too. You do too. That's why we're here today. God never changes. So as long as there is sin in the world, that's how long God will display his wrath against that sin. Well, God's wrath will display his justice in eternity. Romans chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his works." Another translation puts it like this: "But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself unto the day of wrath." That's pretty scary, isn't it? Pretty scary. Sometimes we get upset because it seems as if evil people get away with doing evil and they don't have any retribution. But I'm telling you that one of these days God will call them to account. And their account is being stored up. And one day we'll stand before God to account for what record that he has. And for the sinner, how awful that will be. Evil people are storing up God's wrath, and God's word declares that that day will come when he will release his wrath upon them. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, it says of John the Baptist that he warned his listeners to flee from the wrath to come. You know what the Bible said? There'll be folks on that day that are not ready to meet the Lord, and they will cry out for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. They'll call out, "God, please be merciful," but on that day there'll be no mercy. They've rejected the truth and the mercy of God when it was extended, but God said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Well, God's eternal wrath was illustrated in the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. In this particular story, both men lived and died. Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom or into paradise or heaven. Verse 22 says, "The rich man, he died and was buried." I don't know about you, but being a rich man and a prominent man in his town, I'm sure that he had a great processional. All the limousines were lined up out front, and there was a long parade right down Main Street. He was a prominent man. But the Bible goes on, the next verse said, "And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments." So it really doesn't matter what man thinks, it's what God thinks, isn't it? And one of these days, God, who has a perfect record of every one of our lives, every one of us, we're going to have to account for that record. He died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And it says in verse 24, and he was tormented in the flame. Let me tell you that it's not only the flames of hell, but he could see Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. You see, we are tormented not only by the things that's in hell, but we will be tormented by the thoughts of what could have been and what used to be. You see, he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down with just a drop of water on the tip of his finger to cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. He said, there's a great gulf fixed. It's not possible for us to come there or you to come here. In other words, your destiny is sealed. He said, send Lazarus back to my five brothers. I'm sure he was saying, they're living just the way that I lived, and they're going to come here too if they're not warned. And the Lord said, they have Moses and the prophets, the preachers. And if they don't hear them, neither will they hear if one went back from the dead. Well, the great tragedy of hell is not only just the fire that you experienced there, but oh, what might have been. What might have been. You see, there are folks today in hell that would give anything in this world for the chance that you've got this morning. Anything in this world. If you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, they would give anything to be in your shoes and say, hey, get up, I'll go, I'll take his place, I'll take her place. Because they know what hell is like. But you know, nobody comes out of that place called hell. Once they get there, there's no avenue to get out. The only hope that we have is in this life. And God loves you. He wants you to be saved. And if you'll call upon him, all you got to do is say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry I have sinned against you. And Lord, you know my heart. You know that I want your forgiveness more than anything else. And when you bow on your knees before him and call upon him to forgive you, he said, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll forgive you. So I'm asking you this morning, God is a God of love, but yes, he's a God of wrath too. And he loved you so that you wouldn't have to experience that wrath by sending his son to die in your stead. And if you'll accept him, your name can be recorded down in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning. And the penalty of eternal death removed from your life. That's what he'll do for you because he loves you. Will you bow with me?